Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Now, we've got two guest seats, but only singular guests.
No, because News Review are Ed and Natasha.
Oh, right, I didn't realise it was two people. I'm dyslexic.
I'm very discombobulated this morning. Everything's gone wrong so far.
Well, can I tell you what I saw yesterday? Yeah. And I was shocked, ladies and gentlemen. Mm. Now, believe me, as a homo about town, I've pretty much seen it all.
Yes.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I was in a shop, I know, because my assistant had the day off, and I was behind someone at a register, and he was at one of your favourite places, the tobacco kiosk.
Yes.
And do you know how much he spent on cigarettes?
Tell me.
£207.
And
now, my body is £207 of good Mellis cheese, but I think there are health benefits in the calcium.
£207, probably only get him about four packets.
No, he got 10 packets of what looked like cigarillos, because I'm not up on the deal, and then there was some kind, Super King arrangement going on.
Right.
And then there was a guy behind me who had no teeth. It was Morrison's in Granton. I was keeping it real. For people that don't know Granton, it's a bit like Bosnia, but with a wee bit more sunshine.
My son is in the audience with his girlfriend, and that's where they live. So if you
All right, so you're familiar, right? You're familiar.
That is their local supermarket. Right, okay. They have no choice.
Yes, I was popping in and checking on the people that had rented. But anyway, we'll move on. So I was in there, and then this thing with no teeth and like half a leg, nice, that was wearing culottes, which threw me. And he went, fucking hell, that's quite a lot, isn't it? And he went, I can only afford a 10-pack. I went, right.
But they don't make 10-packs anymore. Well, so
I just didn't know why he was speaking to me, Jojo, so I don't care what they make. I just didn't want him talking to me. And I said, if you can't afford to smoke, mug that guy, because he looks as though he's got a limp.
Good. So you've had a good start to the morning.
Well, no, that was yesterday.
It's been a hangover.
And then
to you.
This was just appalling. I won't name names and I won't name the venue. Someone did a stool in a communal toilet.
You just told me who it was. It was you.
Yeah, well, exactly. But I'm not saying on the podcast, bleep, bleep, bleep. Anyway, Greg's wasn't open.
No, Greg's wasn't open. So I've had a very bumpy morning this morning. Mm. I was sent a picture of somebody's genitalia while I was on the bus. And I swear to God, and there was a kid sat behind me. I did know the owner of the genitalia, but that's another story which I'm not going into just now. And I got to Greg's, and I have a routine of the morning where I get off the bus and I go to Greg's and have a cheese and onion pasty and a cup of coffee, and it was shut. So I had to go to Tesco and get a cheese and onion sandwich. So I'm feeling traumatised.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a traumatic morning.
Another prospective mother-in-law of yours is here, and you're talking about people sending you dick pics.
Yes, well, Nan and I had dinner yesterday. We were talking about all sorts yesterday, yeah?
Well, you know what you're getting into.
It's nice.
The Fokkers. They lived in an RV.
They lived in an RV. Yes.
What you need to do then is get a perm to be like Barbara Streisand. By the way, who permed Larry Dean's hair? Why is he going around looking like something from Salt and Pepper?
I don't know.
That was hellish. That was a disgusting photo. I had to mute your Instagram. I couldn't take it.
I was comparing Pick of the Fringe last night, and I introduced him on stage with, I think, one of the best introductions, which was, your final act, I hate this man, he's a complete prick, but you might like him.
That's lovely. There's real empathy there and warmth.
No.
And it's a shame, because I do think he's having a bit of a mental breakdown, and I don't think we helped by interviewing him.
I know. Well, he's not drinking, so that's probably part of the
problem. I mean, that's the least of it. I mean, how can you be... I mean, he's not even white. He's blue. He is. He's really, really unhealthy. Have you noticed how big his nostrils are? I really like him, by the way.
We
I
love
think he's
Larry.
A nice person.
We sound like we don't, but he's actually...
No,
really
Larry, if you're listening, we love you, but yeah. And you said you were going to listen, so we'll see if you have been listening. Because I'm talking about you, you filthy little homo bitch. Yeah. But those are big nostrils.
I haven't noticed that.
Well, you should look at them. They're absolutely massive.
That's one of those things that happens, though, isn't it? You don't notice something until somebody then points out, and then you can't not notice it, and that becomes the main focus.
Mm.
It's really, yeah. Mm. Isn't it?
I think you should be on a fetishist nasal site.
Oh.
Yes.
There's all kinds of fetishist sites, apparently. Who was talking about dirty knickers? You can send them somewhere.
What?
No, made that noise. Somebody made a noise.
No,
is that you, Nacy? Sorry.
Yeah, no, there's a market for used underwear. I don't understand that. I think God wants us to wash our pants.
No, I think so too, but I keep getting surprised by things. I sometimes think I'm quite naive because I was like, well, who on earth would buy dirty knickers?
But well, there's a big market. Mm-hmm. It's the same with people that show the bits and pieces on Twitter and they have an Amazon registry and you buy them stuff.
No.
Actually, I shouldn't say this, but you know something, I will. So there was someone, right, that I absolutely hated, no names, and they had an Amazon registry office, right? And you know Nespresso, the coffee machine, madam? Do you know Nespresso? I mean, I know you're upset, but come on, focus. So they went, I want Nespresso pods. And I thought, right, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And then I said to my friend, they went, do it. So what I did was found out this person's address and sent them a used Nespresso pod. Largely because I think if you can't afford your own fucking pods, you shouldn't be asking people to pay for them.
I quite agree.
And boy, how I laughed. I really enjoyed that. It was very vengeful. And this person went mental and went all over social media. Who sent me a used pod? And do you know the worst of it? It was decaffeinated.
Oh.
No, I meant business.
Quite right, too.
I got the last word because they were rude to me in another Morrison's.
I thought you frequented Waitrose, darling.
Sometimes. Mm. Oh, I'm a supermarket whore. I go all over the place. Mm. Aldi, Lidl, Morrison's, Waitrose. It's largely because I've nothing to do during the day. So, and I like to compare sushi. Should we get a guest on?
We shall. I'm going to keep forgetting to tell the desk. If you don't want it broadcast, don't
say it. Because we don't edit anything. We don't have time. We edit the stuff in real life. But when we're doing it throughout the year, we're not allowed to say what day or time of the year it is. We're not allowed to be alive.
No, we are. No. Yes.
So, talking to people that are living, can we have news review? Can we have a round of applause for the lovely people from News Review?
Oh, yes. Natasha, up you come.
There we go. Hello, hello, hello. Hiya. How are you? Are you all right? You'll have to share a mic. Sorry, it's the cost of living crisis.
Yes, I know. We're very down on detail, aren't we? One there mic, we two people.
Now, are you dealing with real live news?
Yes.
Yes.
And are you
yes.
traumatised? I mean, do you know the difference between real live news and not news? And what, I mean, it's hard to find the line.
It's been insane. It's been crazy. We have been panicking in the writer's room the day we opened the show in London. That was the day that Boris Johnson resigned, and we had to rewrite 75% of the show. And I was counting down the time till audience were going in, doing new jokes, new punchlines. So it's been interesting, but also really joyous.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would absolutely terrify me. If you had an idea of what the show was that you were bringing up to Edinburgh, and then something like a life event like that happens, because there's loads, Matt Ford, loads of political comedians as well that must have had to rewrite their shows.
Yeah, I mean, we're lucky that we have...
Sorry, you're having a problem with the flex?
That's all right.
I'll just stand up. That's all right. Just continue talking. Jesus.
Christ, Nacy.
You're too big to move that quickly. That was frightening.
This will be the day that this sign comes down. This sign's not attached to anything, and it's literally being held up by the will of the church. And
Is this a church?
Well, I assume so.
Is it a
church?
We could
get knocked out,
it was a church.
Any minute.
Yeah, so it'll just be God's will who it lands on.
Oh my God, so this must be haunted then?
well, haunted.
The ghosts will be hating this.
Haunted by the deaths of comedians past and present.
Well, apparently, and we shouldn't say anything, but there's an apparition in another room that's hiding all our publicity. We'll tell you after the show. Anyway, back to you. So you had to rewrite this.
Yeah, I mean, the show changes every week when it's in London, so people are used to sort of rewriting and things changing. But yeah, it did happen on the first preview day that Boris Johnson resigned. So I'm just glad I'm not playing him. It was someone else who had to rewrite a whole solo and different sketches and stuff.
Oh, but, wow. Yeah. Do you have a sort of spiritual home in London? Is there somewhere that you are? So where do you base normally?
Yeah, so the show's been going in London. I'm not sure if it's the same exact venue, but it's been going in London since 1979, and on every week, Thursday to Sunday. So you sort of, yeah, in the Canal Cafe Theatre.
Yeah.
So it's a really lovely, lovely spot. And you sort of write Tuesday to Thursday, and on the Thursday you also perform. So that's always the hellish day where you're writing stuff up to the last.
That's a nice adrenaline boost, yeah,
nice,
isn't it?
Nice rush.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's why we do it.
How long have you guys been involved in it?
Well, I perform in it. Tash directs it.
Yes, I overheard you saying that. I was listening. Yeah. I was appalled by her snack choice. She's very keen on halitosis-based foods. So anything with an onion, she's in.
I have cheese and onion and salt and vinegar this morning, plus some Ribena and a coffee. Kiss me.
No, we're all tired. Anyway, sorry.
No, yeah, so I've done it a couple of times as a performer, and you've done it a few times as director.
Yeah, so I started off as a performer, and then I continued writing for the show, and then Emma Taylor, the producer, one day rang me up and asked me to direct the podcast, and then directed last year's Edinburgh Fringe and then this year's Edinburgh Fringe. So yeah, very exciting. It's been quite a journey.
So what are you going to do with the news today that Jerry Sadowich's show has been cancelled?
Are you covering that?
No.
No. Bloody coward.
The show is locked.
Yeah. But using that as an example, because I was reading that this morning, and Mary Burke, who listens to the podcast a lot, a very, very funny Irish comedian, she put out a tweet that said, to complain about going to a Jerry Sadowich show is akin to going to an orgy and complaining you're covered in jizz at the end. Why don't you do your research? Which I really agree. I mean, I know that's a fairly profane way of looking at it, but it's also a very succinct way of looking at it. Because I didn't understand, like, I've seen him and he took his doodle out and I thought, that's rank. You
Can
know, the one on your phone looked better.
The audience aware of what's happened.
So is anyone aware of what's happened? Do you know who Jerry Sadowitz is?
Yeah.
So he is an American Scot who happens to be, I think he's of the Jewish faith, and he is a comedian and a magician, and he's quite offensive and all that kind of, you know, it's like a game of rude bingo. He gets his doodle out, that kind of thing, you know, which not everyone's wanting to see. And there isn't much to see. That's what I'm saying. The one on your phone looked so much nicer. I gave him a look.
I thought you'd appreciate it more.
You know,
than
I
me.
Like to keep my hand. I'm a busy girl. And then all these people were like moaning. And again, Mary Burke says, you know, people complaining about what they go and see is really just a grandiose way of saying this isn't to my taste. I'm not necessarily sure. I don't subscribe to a lot of what he talks about and all that kind of stuff because he's not exactly warm and fuzzy.
No.
But
the point is that the Pleasants were putting him on. He was doing the three-night run. He did the first night and they've now cancelled the other two because I think of two complaints. And that's why there's going to be huge discussion surrounding whether he's been cancelled, the where's and why for's for it. And yeah, and round and round in circles we go again.
But would you worry if you'd done something that people complained and tried to get you cancelled, or?
No, not yet.
No.
I think a lot of the time in our room, especially in News Review, we're always making sure we're playing that line and we're going there because it's political satire.
Yeah.
And so we must, but we're always, a lot of the time we're going, where is the joke landing?
Yeah.
Are we hitting at the right people? Mm-hmm. Is the joke landing at Boris? Is it landing at Rishi? Is it landing at Liz Truss? And then we go on stage confident, going, we are making sure that the joke is landing in the right place.
Is anything landing with Liz? Like, seriously. I'm as feminist as the next person, obviously, as I've said, I'm a hybrid. And I watched a compilation of her bits and pieces, And okay, the cheese and the pork and all this kind of stuff, which I thought, you know, you've no respect for pigs. I just thought, you can't really speak in full sentences. Mm. That worries me. That, but that does worry me. And then a really bizarre thing. So Nicola, our fearless leader, she was in Vogue. There is a point to this. Bear with me. So she was in Vogue, and then she was on Ian Dale's show. Why is he on crutches, by the way? If anyone knows, tweet me, because I saw him on crutches, and I thought, why are you wearing a pink velour suit and on crutches? How much attention do you need? We get it. You're gay. You have to move on. So Nicola was in Vogue. Liz Truss apparently says to Nicola at COP26, how did you get into Vogue? Nicola said, they asked me. But what Liz doesn't seem to realise is that Ruth was in Vogue. So why wouldn't she have asked Ruth? Do you see what I mean? That's quite an important point. I think you should put this in the show.
I'm going to write a whole song about
it. Oh, thank God.
To Madonna's Vogue.
Oh, and there you go. There we go. There
it's
you
in,
go.
It's in the show.
We do. And we have the actor who plays Liz does a great impression, and she has a great solo number, which sort of satisfies that.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, that coverage of her. And yeah, we cover sort of Liz and Rishi together as well. So we kind of cover the
Are they having an affair yet?
No.
Well, I think that'll be next.
Is this breaking?
Oh, I think so, yeah. I'm going to predict that.
Right. Well, who out of the two would you prefer? I'd prefer Rishi just because I think he's got really nice hair. Because I am really shallow and I'm actually quite stupid. So not a lot of things affect me. So I would rather look at his hair. Because she needs serum. There's flyaways. She does. She's got split ends. I know that's really shallow, but it's like, come on, you've got the top job. Go and get your hair cut and get it done properly.
The wigs in our show, everyone's got issues.
Really?
Across the board. Yeah, yeah. The wigs... Yeah, everyone gets the same sort of treatment, I'd say, in terms of hair representation. Yeah.
I think it's really interesting, though, isn't it? Because we sit down, we talk about her hair, but we don't talk about actually what she's saying. So sometimes I think it's a tactic.
Oh, the hair is a distraction.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then, so she uses the bad hair as a distraction, and he uses a slick back hair as a distraction. And we're not talking about how we all need to vote for other parties.
I actually think you're onto something.
No, I think you're onto something because she can't speak.
Yeah.
Right, okay, that's because we are focusing on what she's saying, but she's not making any sense.
Yeah, it's actor slash director slash detective.
Because what did she say? Well, you are like Jessica McFletcher from Taggart. Because what was she going on about the Irish tea sock? What was that?
I don't always follow everything she says, so then when we have to sit down and write about it, it's really hard to make a joke about it because... Oh, what she's saying is already a joke, and we could literally just stand up on stage and read it out verbatim.
Yeah.
But then you have to sort of sit down and go, how do we make this like funny, and how do we make it satire, and how do we put a punchline to it? Mm. And so, yeah, that wasn't really an answer.
But I mean, when they do things that are just so ridiculous that they're sort of like a pantomime or a parody of themselves, but equally, some of the other things, you can go, it's so depressing that you kind of go, I just can't find the humour in it. Do you ever get to the point you just like, just can't?
Yeah, there's been a couple of news stories where you sit down and you go, I can't believe it's my job to have to sit down and write about this now and find the funny.
Yeah.
And then some things we just don't do. Sometimes you just can't find the funny in it and you have to give it a week.
But I think that's the thing because, I mean, there's so much kind of shallow stuff you can laugh at, of course, right? But the fact of the matter is these people are going to be very powerful and that's really scary. So suddenly Big Teresa coughing at a conference sans lozenge isn't looking so bad because at least she could form a sentence. Mm. Do you think Teresa's just sitting back thinking, you bunch of Muppets,
you've
totally brought this on yourself and I hate you?
Yeah, I think she's enjoying her position.
Yes.
Sort of looking, literally,
a retrospective.
Just looking forward.
But I think as well, because of the when Theresa May came into power, I mean, she didn't, did she? She was manipulated into that position and put there to be the fall guy slash woman. And yes, and I think she knew that. She knew she was kind of just the buffer before Boris. And I bet she's absolutely reveling in it.
Do you deal with any of the Scottish Conservative and Unionist Party? Do you have Douglas Ross involved?
No, so we have a Sturgeon song.
Oh, do you?
We do have a Sturgeon song, so...
Is it a nice song?
It's a fair song.
Okay.
It's a fair...
Wow, diplomacy!
I think
I'd like to decide what's fair. Yeah. Can I?
No,
be the
Nicola
arbitrary?
Will decide what's
oh,
fair.
Yes.
She was in because a lot of them are talking at the conference center. So Keir Starmer was in on Friday, yeah. and Nicola was in Thursday. So we were hoping that she would hang around for her big number because I think she'd have probably liked it. Yeah.
She was in the Gilded chatting to Basil Brush, which is about the height of how much I trust her.
No, I think it's great that in the middle of a cost of living crisis, spiraling energy bill, she's hanging around with a puppet.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not
it really
talking
is.
About her fellow
it really,
cabinet members.
It really
I'm
is a visual
a
representation,
puppet.
Isn't it?
Yes.
I think Nicola's just copying our press trail because we were also on Basil the other day. So,
wow.
Yeah. Maybe she does know. Maybe she's watched the number in the wings and is like, yeah.
She's maybe sent someone to watch because she's so busy being on talk shows and things like that.
Now, where is the News Review playing every day? Where
it's
are you?
It's playing every day at 8:15 at the EICC, The Pleasance.
Oh, my God.
So how big is that?
Very
that
grand.
Sounds big.
That is a 600-seat venue. So please come. Mm. Spread the word. And it's such a difference because at our home base in Canal, we're at a 60-seat venue.
Oh, wow.
And so
that's a completely different performance space that, you know, in terms of how you deliver it.
Are you the room that Bianca Del Rio is going to be in?
Ooh. Ooh.
She's not a Tory, by the way.
No. And also...
She's a winner of Drag Race.
I think she's in the building.
Oh, well, but we don't know who's in this building, dead or alive.
Mm.
But I don't know if we're in the same space as her.
Oh, my God.
I'm excited.
You might get cancelled for saying I'm not in the same space as a drag queen. I couldn't. Her wig's too good. But that's the thing. Don't you worry. We were discussing that. It's all to do when people complain, they think they can articulate what you've said more than say it so it makes you look like you're offensive. Then everyone believes that person piles on and that's all how that nonsense begins. Is Keir in the show? Do you deal with Keir?
Absolutely is, and Ed sitting next to me does one of the best Keir impressions I think I've ever seen.
Can we have a little?
I set you right up for that. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
No, it's so good.
Drop him right in it. Come on.
What do you want me to say? Did he
have donkeys in a field? Was there not a bit of land and he kept donkeys, which I thought was lovely, actually, because I really like donkeys.
Bruce, I did buy my mother a donkey, but I did it with a great deal of respect. Okay, a lot of respect and dignity. I love my brother very much.
Can I ask you, while Keir's still here, can you tell us what was in the Indian takeaway on the night of Curry Gates? Please tell me there was a Peshwari naan, because that's my favourite.
Bruce, I just had a lime and soda and I went home.
Did you go home with Angela Rayner? Because you know that people think that you two are having an affair.
Oh, yes.
No, we did not, but she's got fantastic
sick
hair.
Legs.
Whoa!
Fucking brilliant. Oh,
that's fabulous. Thank you so much. So yes, 8:15 at the EICC.
Pleasance.
Pleasance, yes. Oh, it is, which is where there's an extra room now because Jerry's no longer there. So there we go.
Oh, God, are we back to that?
He was only on
maybe
two
we could
nights,
organise a bring and buy sale.
Yeah.
Or an early Harvest fine. Festival. Do you remember the Harvest Festival at school?
Yeah.
Yeah, you had to take tins of soup in. Who got the soup?
What?
Do you not remember that?
No.
But you've had children. You had to take in tins of soup. You had to take stuff
over
in
the
tins.
Harvest Festival.
A local thing. So wherever it went, it was local.
Ah, nice.
Yes.
I don't think it was transported.
No. Yeah, not to Durham anyway, Keir, for goodness sake.
No, the Harvest Festival, yes, is a thing. Although, like any of these things, you have to take into school for prize givings or Christmas hampers and all the rest of it. Where I live in South Queensferry, it's a very small community, it was the same. People used to win things and then put it back in the raffle and then win it again and then put it back in the raffle. It was pretty much the same bottle of Black Tower that was in the raffle for 20 years.
You should have just stolen it and drunk it to get it out the chain. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
And good
luck
for the rest of the run.
Thank you.
Come everyone, pause for News Review. Thank you, darling. Oh, watch, watch, watch.
Now
you'll die.
Jesus
oh, for
Christ.
For God's sake.
The last thing we need after the course is an insurance claim, Natasha.
Now, are we ready for another tete-a-tete?
I think a tete-a-tete or a tete-a-tete. Let Nacy sort it. Oh, God.
Would you like to do the introduction? Like I'll focus on Nacy.
Would you like me to do what?
The introduction.
Yes, I would.
Yes, would you like to introduce our next guest?
I would. Erin tete-a-tete, as I'm now
Come
calling
on.
You.
Come on, give it a
Up
round of
pop,
applause.
My darling. How are you?
Hello.
Hello, Erin. We
now,
went through
I
all
have
kinds
to
of
say,
connotations.
Before we begin,
yes.
I am marveling at your sneakers because I thought they were Balenciaga, but you got them from
everything5pounds.com.
Everything5pounds.com. Now,
slightly different.
Leslie Sloss always recommends that to me, everything5pounds.
Do they?
Yeah. Does she?
Yeah, that's where she gets all her things.
Oh, right. Well, okay. Won't be making
exclusive.
A purchase then. That's fine. Were they new?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, that's fine. It's just she likes secondhand shoes, but I don't.
But we had somebody on the other day who had secondhand shoes on. Who was it? You?
Milo.
Yes.
Yeah, because he's a size 12 and a Yeezy. But we'll move on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How are you?
I'm all right.
And thank you for joining us. And I'm enjoying the crushed velvet. It's very Issey Miyake.
Thank you.
He died recently.
Who did?
Issey Miyake.
Okay.
Yeah.
You come out, he just comes out with words that I feel like he's speaking Latin to me. Yeah, he accosted you this morning with a Variago. What do these called, did you say?
Balenciaga.
Okay. You could just say that like it's normal.
Well, just most people with a bit of culture, nice manners, no thanks, you know. We're not all scum. But moving on. So how are you enjoying Edinburgh?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm sorry, Erin. That didn't sound convincing
sometimes
at
I'm
all.
Sometimes I'm enjoying it.
But you know,
sometimes.
At least it's honest.
Yeah.
You know, you're not one of these people. Do you know what I hate? These people that come up and tell you how well they're doing and you're like, bitch, I didn't want to talk to you.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you make me physically sick. Move away.
Okay, great. Yeah. So it's better for me to be like, it's been terrible.
No, but I just think it's better for people to be honest. It was like that lovely girl, Rachel Jackson. She said, it says on the Stand website, my show's sold out. I can assure you it's not. Hardly getting anyone in, but I think it's a good show. Be honest, you know, I think that's...
Yeah, I know. I think it's up and down. I think that's, like, supposed to be the point of it.
Yes.
If it is, then I'm nailing it, because we're really up and down all the time.
But it is an area of smoke and mirrors as well, because you have to kind of... You can't go around going, it's shit, because then you convince people it's shit and they don't come.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know then if I've done that, because I've been really honest with people about our experience here. Because it's just, it's been different.
It's different. Mm-hmm.
Look at me being
unique.
Diplomatic.
Yeah,
yes, yes. Yeah. Do you discuss anything that might get you cancelled in your show?
I don't think so, but I do have people walking out.
Oh.
You do?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
marvellous.
Good. Yeah.
Was that your intention? Did you write it deliberately to be provocative and to hopefully make people walk out?
Well, it's not really provocative, but it's called Erin Tett Finds Her Audience. It's based on the idea that, like, I do kind of, when I do stand up, in the clubs, I kind of usually have somebody collapsing in tears from laughter and somebody cross-armed staring at me in rage. So I'm like, right, well, I'm obviously not for everyone. We can kind of figure that out. So you always get the advice when you're a bit like that, of like, oh, well, you just need to find your audience. So I've decided to take it completely literally. And so I'm doing my jokes and I'm also collecting like audience data and also their actual faces. So I have had people like dying of laughter and then people like, yeah, we're gonna go. We're just gonna get up
it's
and leave.
It's not for us.
It's not for us.
When you have the walkouts, do they shout anything back?
No.
Do you ask where they're going?
Well, I'm like, well, we've lost another couple. Let's see how we go.
Because I remember going to see Joan Collins in a show. It was this thing Unscripted, right? And two people left. And she went, oh, well, I'm sorry if I'm effing boring you, which I thought was hilarious. And they went, yeah, you are. And she just went, know, Dame Joan Collins. So I was like buzzing out my tights, honestly. I'd nearly creamed my punders. I was like, oh, she really is a bitch. And she was when I met her. Actually, she went, you're a bit heavy, aren't you? And I went, right, okay, can I get my photo taken with you now? She went, I said, what are you doing? She went, I'm finding my light, shut up. And I was like, oh my God, fabulous. Saturday night and I'm with Alexis Colby. Fab. Anyway, back to you, because it really is about you. No, I think it's exciting when people walk out.
Yeah. I mean, the best shows have been when people walk out. I'm selling this, aren't I?
What I really is that thing, as much as you are kind of, that's what you want, that's the effect you're trying to create, as a performer, and it doesn't matter what you're trying, still does it not make you go, is it not a little bit of you inside goes, oh, fuck.
Yeah, I mean, ideally everybody would love me. Yeah. I feel like that's the ultimate goal, but it's just not
so
gonna.
So what is it you're discussing that's so divisive?
I'm not really divisive. See, I actually think I do comedy that's like incredibly inclusive because I don't do comedy about, it's not about me, it's not about identity, it's not about politics, it's not about anything in the world, it's just... it's just...
What the fuck is it about?
It's just jokes. I just tell jokes that are like observations, but from a slightly different angle and in a different rhythm. So it's like an unrecognizable rhythm, I think. And also I make everybody uncomfortable, I think. And I think some people, when they feel uncomfortable, they think, oh, this must be a mistake because being uncomfortable is horrible. But I actually think that it's great and amazing, and I love
being
uncomfortable.
Well, I think people should be made to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah. So that's like my favourite state to put a place into, but I think people, some people, it just doesn't sit so well with them.
Yeah, you know, but weirdly, you are really selling it to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, if you like feeling really uncomfortable.
Oh, I do.
Well, that's what I do as well. I'm like, oh, God, yeah, let's go. If I see somebody doesn't like it, I'm like, tell me why. Like, what did you hate the most?
No, absolutely. We traumatised poor Sam Morrison, and I made him feel uncomfortable, and then I felt uncomfortable, and then it kept going. Didn't I?
I just don't think he enjoyed the experience. No, he was traumatised.
No, but maybe not. But
we have to stop going back to that because I can't be bothered getting into trouble over something I've not done.
Yeah, fair enough.
He blatantly didn't enjoy the interview, and that's fair enough. Yeah. No offence. He enjoyed ignoring me the other evening. I didn't take offence. I didn't write a letter of complaint because what are you meant to do? Again, we're not for everyone, so we have that in common.
Yeah,
I don't think there's anything wrong with people feeling uncomfortable. People feeling uncomfortable, particularly in the Waitrose. Do you know why? Because they have a really deluded sense of self. If you go into Waitrose calmly back, my God, you would think these people were part of the war effort. They've come in from Barnton, a good area, you know, to load up their car with a load of nice things. And oh my God, it's just hellish. People are dicks.
People are dicks, aren't they? At the end of the day, though.
But that's just the bottom line. They don't know how to behave. That's the thing. Have you ever been made to feel uncomfortable? What makes you feel uncomfortable?
I feel uncomfortable every day of my life.
Really?
So I feel like that's where the flip is. It's like when I go out in the world, I'm quite uncomfortable with the way everybody's interacting. But in my space, it's like we're doing it my way. So I'm the only one who feels like reveling in it.
Okay.
And everybody else probably feels a bit like, oh, this isn't normal.
Like a little flip of the coin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is it you don't enjoy? What is it that makes you feel uncomfortable?
I think, just general people, maybe.
You've got a lot in common with Bruce.
To set you apart, you guys
seem
great.
Oh, no, I mean, he doesn't like anybody, really.
Oh, no, that's not true. No, I do like some people. Mm. I just think the vast majority of people, I just don't like them.
Yeah.
I don't like them. And do you know what the thing is as well? I don't see myself as a bastion of intellect, but it's how stupid people are. I find it extraordinary.
Mm.
I really, really do. And then it disgusts me, and then I get angry. Mm. Because she was saying that to me the other day. When are you going to come out for a night out and whatever? And I went,
yes.
I don't want to.
No, I'm trying to go out and have fun with him. And he's just he won't. He refuses. Anybody. He refuses to
I've
have
refused
fun.
Point blank. I tried it on Thursday night, and I just thought, nah, these people can eat shit
I'm
and
out.
Die.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm done.
I'm
like,
out.
Really? Because that's the thing. Hi. I went, I'm not dying. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
You doing your little chat show? No. You doing the podcast with Jojo? No. You doing anything at Fringe? No. And I don't like you, so go away.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Why would a person do that? If I don't like the person, I don't. I had to say that to someone last Friday night. I went, don't grimace at me. We don't have to communicate. Move on.
Yeah. I think it is.
And I think that's fair enough. But then you're seen as being rude. And then there was two people coming, and I just went, hello, goodbye, and left. Because I thought, I don't want to hang about with you, and you don't want to hang about with me. You know, it was someone that went like that to me the other. Sorry, I'm going off on one. It was someone the other week that went like that. So how are you? And I went, I'm fine. And they went, how are you really? I went, like, you give a fuck. Move away. And why have you pierced your ears?
Oh,
there's a clue.
Guess who don't sue?
But it's just like, I hate that falseness.
they listen as well. They'll know who you're talking about.
Oh, good. Well, that's fine then. Well, they don't suit you and you should get rid of them. So, message received and understood. No, I would rather people just didn't speak.
Yeah,
and they've
yeah.
no spatial awareness. A lot of people smell, and it's nothing to do with pandemics or whatever. See the amount of coughing that goes on public? It's disgusting. Who brought you up? Scum.
Right, have you finished?
Yeah, sorry.
Completely set you off. I'm so sorry.
Do you agree, though?
Oh, well, yes.
Well, yes, yeah. Good, I'm glad. I don't want to be seen as browbeating
that.
No, it's just, it's dreadful. How do you feel when, do people come up to you after your show and talk to you?
Yeah, I do get some people. So obviously some people leave, and then some people are like, that was the best thing ever. So that's like, it's just, yeah, you just find different people, don't you? And I'm trying to collect them and get their faces together. And
so what's with the data capture? Are you going to try and steal their identities? Are you going to blackmail them? Are you going to have an affair?
So the all very good options that I didn't consider before. I'm collecting their data, the people who really like it, their information, because it's their information that's going to help me make an ad campaign. So, you know, so I'm popping up for the right scrollers, you know, because you know that. So you got to beat the algorithm somehow. So I'm like, let's just go in and let's do it.
And who are you advertising, yourself or Dove?
Yeah, myself. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Dove
can do one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they've always got people moisturising their breasts and screaming and all that kind of
stuff. We've had enough of Dove.
We've had enough. Honestly, our tits aren't dry. Leave us alone.
I think that should be
everyone's new figure. Dove, back off. You're killing the planet, and I'm well moisturised in my areoli. So, what is this to advertise tours, your work? Are you writing a book?
No. Well, the silly idea is like, oh, well, one day I'll do a real show, and then all the people who, like, that I've got the information and I'm popping up to, they'll all be able to come, and I'll have everybody who loves me.
Oh.
And no walkouts, but you can.
Yeah, but I wonder though, wherein if you get to that, you know, nadir, is that the word? That you get it and then go, oh, I don't
Well,
like
exactly.
This.
Well, that's also a bit of the twist, isn't it? Once you reach that level, you've achieved that goal,
then you'll want something
actually,
else.
If I'm very successful with my show and I do attract everybody who loves it, my show kind of implodes.
Yeah, you've got
and
nothing.
It doesn't work anymore.
Isn't it the irony that the solution is the failure?
Exactly. The joy is actually having friction in the crowd, and that's just the most enjoyable bit of doing comedy, is having people stare at you and hate you and having people...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But that, again, getting back to the Jerry Sadowitz situation, is where the conversation's going in terms of, is that what we're trying... is that what we're trying to do? Is that what we're trying to make everybody just feel the same about everything and that we have one... I didn't say nothing about COVID, but I fucking will if you start that nonsense.
Do you know what I think is the real problem with Jerry? He doesn't wash his hair.
Yeah,
it's all the hair. Everybody's
absolutely
hair
no. You want to go and see someone with clean hair? Mm. Yeah.
But no, the problem is that's what we seem to be working towards, is that everybody agrees and likes the same thing, laughs at the same things, has the same opinions. But then what a boring world we would live in.
Yeah, agreed.
Are they Michael McIntyre fans?
Yes.
Yes.
That's exactly what it would be.
A world of Michael McIntyre.
But I mean, that's
which
fine.
I think Michael McIntyre is great.
Which is absolutely fine,
But that's not...
But if
we
that's
all
it,
had to be,
yeah,
that's it,
if that's it,
and there was no alternative... If you just had Michael McIntyre as the only comic you were able to access, you telling me the whole world would be happy? Mm. What on earth was that?
I think there's rats in the attic.
I think we've introduced a new sound effect.
And where?
I'm at 5 p.m.
5 p.m.
At the Tron.
At the Tron.
Yeah.
Every day.
Every day.
Have you got a day off or anything?
Tomorrow is my first day.
Yes, same with us.
And the Tron is a Just a Tonic venue.
Yes.
I did a gig there late last.
You've got to climb down into a basement.
Yeah, it's lovely though.
Yeah,
really
so when you leave, it really is like I am leaving because it's difficult to get out of this. So they're like, I am gonna go, and I'm like, right, well, you've definitely decided. Yeah.
You've got to put a proper shift in to find the venue and to find your way out.
Yeah, leaking walls.
Winding back up like, all right, well, you've made your mind
But they
up.
Brought that on themselves.
Mm. Exactly,
with the
yeah.
complete ignorance. Mm. It's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you for a tip for the shoes.
Thank you, Erin.
Can we have a round of applause?
Thank you.
Thank you, darling. Oh. Shall we get lovely Finn on, lovely Finley?
Just before we get Finley, I'd quite like to know what that noise was and what it's meant to represent. What was the noise? What was the sound effect meant to?
Oh, can you two take this up when I'm not here? It's just, you know, I'm tired. Finley, would you like to come up? Because I'd like to talk to you.
Finley Christy, let's be having you.
Hello, Finley.
Do sit down, sir.
Hello.
Hiya.
Are you all right?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
No, well, you're very welcome.
Thanks for coming, honestly.
You're very welcome.
This time of day, I'm surprised anybody bothers to turn up. It's very early for comics, do you know what I mean?
It is.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, right. Okay. Did you stay out late, Finley?
I did last night, yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
My cousin came up to see me, and he's a little shit, but I love him.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, I feel like a responsibility to look after him, because like, he was always the younger one growing up. But he came to my show, and he was really drunk, and he just heckled me the whole time.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
But he, I was doing the emotional bit at the end of my show, and he went, lame. Yeah.
Wow.
How emotional is the emotional bit?
It's not that emotional. Nothing's happened to me. Look at me. But
yeah. Right.
Yeah, you look like you're in one piece and navigating the world. Oh, God. And so you further went out with him last night to kind of control him or not
swear
control him.
Swear his drunkenness further. Mm.
Well, he apologized, and then I went and I thought, I will go out. But he still had, just because he's just drunk. He's just been drinking all day. So
how
he just
old
got
is
drunker.
He?
He's 20, 21.
Right. Well, I mean, that's a problem in itself.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous.
Although you don't, you, how old are you?
23.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I mean, that's a problem in itself. That's just ridiculous.
I mean, literally a fetus in the world, isn't it? So,
well,
bless you.
Yes. You'll remember those from a long time ago.
One of yours is here. Yes, one of mine is here.
My eldest fetus
at the back there, the ginger one. Yeah, yeah. Look.
How many fetuses are in your family?
Just the two,
hence the emotional part.
Yeah.
Is it to do with sibling rivalry or a problematic relationship with a mother who doesn't accept you for being a homosexual?
I mean, all...
all of the above.
Who knows? I haven't figured that out yet, but... I think all comedians have, all male comedians, there's something with your mum, isn't there? Either she loves you too much or not enough. But I think with me, it's probably too much.
Too much, yeah.
But that's not what the show's about. I don't know why I'm getting into that.
What is the show about, Finley?
We like to not go into what the show is about. I wouldn't go into Mummy and Daddy. We like to dig deep.
I've seen your posters and your reviews have been fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
People have had worse fringes, you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it, yeah.
Hello, we're sat in the room, so...
But the show's about broadly like being a young person and kind of the fact that I think my generation is...
If you say misunderstood, I'm going to fucking punch
no,
you.
No.
Good.
Well, a little bit.
Okay.
I wasn't going to use the word misunderstood.
Right.
But kind of...
Says the woman drinking an infant's Ribena, but we'll move on.
I mean, it's kind of about the fact that we are quite nihilistic, really, as a generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, very much so.
Just because we have very low expectations, because we sort of were born into a world that already seemed to be kind of ending.
Yeah.
So that's what it's about.
I mean,
it's not a great time to be born.
I don't want to put the responsibility onto you, but I am going to put the responsibility onto you that always the next generation should be the ones that take responsibility to make the world
I think so.
Better. Because I'm tired. Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
And so yeah, we pass the baton on and go, right, well, you do a fucking better job then.
Yeah.
Rather than blaming us for everything being shit.
Pretty shitty baton you've passed us, but yeah.
Again, that's one of these fetish things. Can I ask what you feel that you've done to improve the world in your time alive?
I brought four beautiful children into this world.
So you've taken up more space, okay?
Yeah. But, you know, you never know. When people say, oh, I wouldn't bring children into this world because the world's such a terrible place, how arrogant to assume that the person that my son or my... I mean, they won't because they're stupid. But no, I'm joking. They're gorgeous. But who's to assume that the next person doesn't have a cure for cancer or that invents something that stops climate change? So the next... But you can't. So you can never assume that, oh, we fucked it so nobody
curing
else can make
cancer
it better.
From a woman that likes to set fire to herself on the hour every hour. Pipe down.
Oh, it's more often than that. It's every 15 minutes. Down. But no, that's it. So, I mean, I you don't know. So we put our faith in the next generation.
So, Finlay, can I ask then? You're 23. Are you worried you're going to die soon? Or do you, are you worried the planet's going to implode? It's just I'm 46, no. And I've heard that for fucking years.
Yes.
Nothing's happened. I'm tired of people complaining about the heat. And I just feel people need to get their houses in order.
And also I think Mother Nature is in charge and she'll decide if she wants to wipe us all out, she'll wipe us all out and start again. Fuck her. The show, not fuck her, good for her.
The show is actually quite optimistic on that front.
Okay. Oh, good.
So it's not... I know I've made it sound quite depressing by saying we're all nihilists.
No, you did.
It's a feel... It's a
so start again, Finlay.
Okay, I'll try again.
So this feel-good show
it's
that
you've written... It's a feel-good show about the end of the world, yeah.
Fabulous.
No, it's not about the end of the world. It's about how much I love young people, basically, and how much I think we're going to be all right, basically.
Right, okay.
Yeah. No, I like the sound of it, because I do think... I genuinely think that's true. I think the youth are... I think... The younger people, this generation, my youngest is 19, 20. Friend, I find her lot very optimistic, and I find them quite inspiring.
Are you an activist of any kind? Are you passionate about certain subjects? Is there stuff that you're trying to bring to the attention of society?
No, not at all.
Right, okay. So you're not gluing yourself to anything.
Yeah, no, but that when I said nihilistic, really what I meant is like. A lot of us don't seem to care about this stuff.
Okay.
Not a lot of us are sort of activists, even though maybe we should be.
Mm.
But then the twist on I put on that is, but I think we're still going to be fine.
Mm.
So
I do like that.
I agree with you. I don't understand. Although I did enjoy because I'd seen some climate people in Barcelona and they'd glue their hands to the ground.
Oh, yeah.
The police didn't give a shit. They just ripped their hands off.
Ooh.
And I thought that's marvelous. Sorry if I seem fascist, but you know, hey, because I did say to you during the lockdown that if we were going to be locked down, that I wanted people being shot out of their feet to keep them in their house.
Yes, you did. Yeah. I mean. We very much disagreed
I've got quite firm views. Like, I was trying to park on George Street last night. A woman was standing in a space. My husband's come and I went, I will drive into you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, move. And she did. So, you know, little wins for me. Little wins for me. So, you know, I'm optimistic as well.
I've seen it.
You really did. I've forgotten that. When I was I was against lockdown and the repercussions of it and what would then... okay, fair enough. But I didn't think lockdown was a good idea and you did and you genuinely, Bruce, wanted people...
No, I didn't think it was a good idea.
No, but you wanted people shot if they didn't stay in their
houses.
Yeah,
because if you were having to stay in, you had to stay in properly. So that's all. Did you enjoy your lockdown?
I was making little videos and stuff. I was really bored, but everyone was really bored. I mean, I kind of enjoyed the fact that everyone had a crap haircut and everyone was doing nothing. It sort of makes you feel like there's no pressure to... everyone was slumming.
Yeah, it did press the kind of pause button on everyone, didn't it?
So but it was really boring.
Nobody could race ahead.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's true.
Apart from
the pharmaceutical companies,
yeah,
right?
And the 1% that made £33 trillion.
So anyway, do you go and see other people's shows?
Loads of other people's shows.
Have you been to see a lot? Who would you recommend?
Oh, I really liked Zach Zucker's show.
Oh, okay.
He's a sort of, he's sort of a little bit of a clown, but then it's like a parody of bad stand-up at the same time.
Oh.
And it's really good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
but
that's
a parody of bad stand-up, when you can go and see the real thing for
much less.
Yeah.
That's because I've never heard of Zach Zucker. Should I have heard of Zach Zucker? I feel the older I get, there's people I just have never heard of.
I think he's a bit of like a cult comedian. I don't know. He's not
name.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to be careful with the word cult. Mm-hmm. I said it on STV once and got it wrong. Yeah, I said the Wicker Man was a cunt figure, which I didn't mean to. But yeah, what can you do? Mm. Have you ever been on television and you've made a mistake?
Made a mistake.
You know, said the wrong thing, sworn, broken wind.
Mm. I've not been on TV a lot, I'll be honest. Have you done that?
Oh, well, I only did it once.
Yeah.
You know, I've been on TV more than once, but I only said the one bad thing. And I tried to pass it off as cullent.
Yeah, no, I've not done any.
No, but that's quite new.
Hmm.
Have you made a mistake in a broadcast?
I can't think.
No.
I had a meltdown.
In general,
yeah.
You can't think.
Well, I made a mistake by going on some of the things, but apart from that.
Indeed. Are you a TikTok person?
I do make videos, yeah.
Right, okay. Unfortunately, because we had a guy who's a lovely magician, but we didn't realise he was a kind of, he was a closet breakaway star of TikTok, the Toasty King.
Oh, God, the Toasty, of course, Ribby, Elliot.
And he basically made toasties. So
he's called the Toasty King?
Yeah. Have you heard of him?
I know the rap god.
Oh, right, and you don't mean the spoken word.
No, rap, he makes raps. Scottish guy.
Oh, nice!
Yeah, he's really good.
Oh,
I said the rap god as in, oh.
Yeah, but there's a Toasty King as well.
There's a Toasty King, but the thing is, I think if you're looking to lose weight, go for a rap because there's less density.
Yeah.
So I'm more interested in the rap thing now. But I really like avocados.
Oh, you're so easily sweet.
Oh, I'm shallow. I'm absolutely shallow. So what kind of things does he make?
The rap god?
Yeah.
Well, so it's really interesting because he'll put anything in a rap. And a lot of the time, you listen to it, it's like pot noodle or something.
Oh,
and you
no.
think,
that's
and you think, oh,
no,
yeah, it's all like disgusting. A ready meal, like some sort of, be like spaghetti bolognese or something. Or like carbs in carbs. And you think, what are you doing, you maniac? He does it and it looks amazing. And you think, oh my God. Like,
it's the cheese.
It makes you realize, and it makes you realize like how versatile a rap is and how much you can do with a rap.
Well, and you know, because I'm following WW, they're only 3 personal points a wrap.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you fill that with chicken, which is one of your zeros, and a load of old salad, you're absolutely 3 points for your lunch.
Mm.
Brilliant.
You'd love the wrap, guys.
Oh, totes.
Yeah.
Totes. Whereabouts in Scotland is he from?
I have no idea.
See, I follow, there's a really nice Indian man who makes those iron brew gram flour pakoras. And he calls everyone shy. He's going, oh, hello, Shaggers. How are you today? And he's really, really funny. And do you know who I mean? Yeah. And he's really, really funny. I'd gone in, when it was Friday night last week or whatever, and he'd made that. And I thought, oh, my God, I've got everything that I can put it in. I always going about my air fryer. Do you have an air fryer?
No.
Oh, they're really good. So I had everything, and you just do it in the air fryer and did it. And it was, oh, but he's on holiday at the moment. He's in Turkey with his family. It's very funny.
Yeah.
Very, very funny. The rap god. No, I'm going
to
look into that.
I'm as cynical as I was about the Toasty King, because exactly the same thing you're describing, all the different ingredients, and I was like, and people watch this, and then Toasty King showed me one of his videos and I was immediately drawn in and went, oh, this is amazing. So now I'm going to go and look at the Rap King.
Jesus, do you like a rap yourself?
Well, after that I've bought raps, but then they just sort of go off in my fridge. I never use them because I don't have because he uses a toasty thing. He uses
the panini machine, the grill thing.
But not the Breville, because the Breville went in the bin with Toasty King and he went on to Tower.
Yeah, bugger the Breville and
bugger
Totes
the Breville,
Tower.
Totes
right.
to the Tower, yeah.
Uh huh. But that's the thing, if you don't use wraps quickly enough, they go hard. No, it's true. They go hard. They go hard at
it's
the end.
Important
and the
information
worst, the worst offenders are the big ones from the Lidl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, well, they're like 6 points, which is a gamble for me. But they're big because you think you get, but you just never get around. Oh my God, tell me you make quesadillas.
No.
Right, you have to, Finlay.
But what, do you ever get when you leave your wrap, sometimes, for
it
some
goes
reason,
hard.
No, but I go hard, but then sometimes a bit wet in the middle.
Oh, no, Finlay, I don't know what you're doing to your wraps, or indeed where you're storing your wraps, but, well, I mean, keep it clean, it's a family show. You have to... You have to make a quesadilla. All it is 2 wraps, a load of cheese, and you can put anything in them. And fry it over.
Okay.
I don't think you've convinced me.
Maybe you could be quesadilla prince. There'll be Toasty King.
Quesadilla queen.
There we go.
Olé!
Nailed it.
From Mexico.
Oh, Christ, go and trademark that now because I'm an undercover.
Quesadilla queen.
You go and be a I can't say it.
I'm being thrown out my own podcast. I'm about to walk out.
Okay. Whilst on the subject of that, do you eat healthily during the festival? Or
No. My approach to it is like, I'm just going to put my body through hell and then I'll sort it out afterwards.
And then worry
chips.
About it.
It feels
like just putting your sort of life on hold until September and go, I'm just not going to bother right now. And in September, I'll have a look at the damage.
I think for your first ever like hour show, that's what you do. And then by the third hour, maybe you've got a nicer place and you've got a gym and you're cooking for yourself. But
No. 20 years I've been,
man.
No, 20 years I've been doing this and I still make all the same mistakes, 100%. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, she's even been reduced to deep fat frying her own hand and licking off the batter. So where are you on and where?
6 p.m.
6 p.m.
Gilded Balloon TV and
Which room are you in?
The wee room.
The wee room's lovely, yes. I'm in Sportsman's.
Oh, lovely.
She's near the toilets.
I am.
Understand why.
I'm near the toilets and the open door because I've got a lot of menopausal women that are passing out. So,
oh, yeah, please, let's not talk about menopausal women on this podcast. We've had our fingers burned.
Yes,
on our flaps. So, yeah, I think we'll move on from that. Finlay, it's been real.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for the tip for about the Rap King.
Yes. Yes.
No worries.
Thank you so much. Can we have a round of applause for lovely Finlay? Thank you to our audience. Thank you for Lenka for bringing the lovely people. Thank you for you two. I thought it was touch and go with you guys at some point because I think you fell asleep, but you did well. You did well.
Everybody, if they wanted to come in for a kip, that's absolutely acceptable.
Fuck, we're just glad to see faces. Your eyes don't have to be open.
I'm off
to see Sophie Ellis Bexter.
You are enjoying that. And I think you've happened on a new, you might be a viral sensation with your...
Oh, well, with your I'm monkeypox vaxxed, so I hope not.
Go with your queasy, I'd call it queasy, queasy queens.
Queasy queens. Queasy oh, that'll queens. Just be me rolling around the laminate with the dog. Puking and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, start snorting like it's a cat.
Are you going to the House of Oz tonight to see Gabby Bolt?
That's on my list of things to do, but I might fall asleep.
So tell Leah I said hello.
I will do.
And to all the listeners that claim that you don't listen, we know you do, and we know you're fans. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.